It's okay?
I think so. Just give a test.
Testing. 1, 2.
Very good.
I guess you guys can hear me. It is said that the Dharma is enlightening to the heart, but dark to the mind. Enlightening to the heart, but dark to the mind. So as you listen to me today, don't try to figure it out. Just listen. Let it sink in. Tempio's Two Wrongs, Case 98, The Blue Cliff Record, Ingo's Introduction. During the summer session, I burden you monks from the five lakes with a great deal of talking. The diamond treasure sword cuts through all complications. Now, after all my instructions, you are left with nothing. Tell me, what is the diamond treasure sword? Lift up your eyes and see the sharpness of the sword in the following case. Main subject. When Tempio went on a pilgrimage visiting teachers, he stayed with Sayen. He always said, "Don't say you understand Buddhism. I find no one who can speak on it." One day, Sayen heard him call Jui, which was Tempio's personal name. Tempio looked up at Sayen. Sayen said, "Wrong." Tempio stepped away. And Sayen once again said, "Wrong." Tempio turned and approached Sayen, who said, "I have just said wrong. Who is wrong? Am I or are you?" Tempio said, "I am." Sayen said, "Wrong." Tempio said nothing. Sayen said, "Stay here this summer and let us discuss the two wrongs." But Tempio instead left Sayen. Later, when Tempio was abbot of his own temple, he said to his disciples, "When I went on a pilgrimage, it happened in the course of events that I was brought to see Abbot Shimyo," which is Sayen's other name, "who told me twice that I was wrong. It was not then that I was wrong, however, but when I first started south on my pilgrimage, I already said it was wrong." Secho's verse. Zen people are often frivolous. They study much, learn much, but to no avail. How deplorable, laughable is old Tempio. You say you were wrong to make a pilgrimage? Wrong, wrong. Sayen's good words grow pale besides my wrong. Once again, Secho says, some monks may come forth and say wrong. Can you tell my wrong from Tempio's? So that's a lot to take in. That's why I said, don't try to figure it out, you know. Got all these little wrongs running around. So let me ask you this. What do you think is going on with this koan? What's the diamond sword? Manjushri, who is the Bodhisattva of wisdom, is often depicted carrying a sword in one hand and what's called a Parinirvana Sutra in the other hand. So it's a sword that can take life and give life. The life that it's taking is the life of delusion, and it's giving life to Prajna. wisdom. So what is prajna? It's not knowing. So here we have a monk who's invited to stay with the master, and what does he do? He leaves. Why? Well, because he thinks he knows something. He thinks he's got it. I may have told this story before, so if I repeat from many of you, if it's a repeat, just bear with me. But years ago, when I was living in Manhattan, I took a course in Chinese medicine with a Chinese gentleman who was both an MD and who also practiced Chinese medicine. He spent 10 years as an apprentice to his father in China, who practiced Chinese medicine, as did his grandfather. Now today in America, if you're an MD, you only have to do 16 hours of training in acupuncture to become certified. See, and this points to one of the issues in our culture, which is our tendency to think that we can readily grasp something. And we see this in the martial arts. And I have been a martial artist, oh, I don't know how many years, 40, 50 years now. And I see it. Many of you know that Bodhidharma is credited with not only bringing Zen to China, but he is considered the father of the martial arts. Yet we're hard-pressed to find martial artists practicing Zen. See, sometimes in our culture, we're into a quick study. Now here's this monk who went on a pilgrimage. And the idea of going on a pilgrimage is to deepen your studies, not go through the movement. Here's a master saying, spend the summer. Let me work with you. And what does he say? No, I got it. And it's later when he's working with his students that perhaps he realized his self-deception. Perhaps. Some of the commentaries said that he didn't. So he passed on his lack of clarity to his students. See, because if you don't have it, that's what you're going to transmit to your students. That's part of the wrong. And the other part of the wrong is talking about Zen. So every time a teacher opens his or her mouth, they're committing a wrong. Because what it is, nobody knows. There is a koan, I believe in a Blue Cliff record, where Ananda is asking the Buddha something to the effect of, how come you can't see my not knowing? Now obviously, if the Buddha could see his not knowing, then it wouldn't be not knowing. Do you see? Only you can realize your not knowing. That's why it's called self-realization. How many times have you heard me say, if I give you the answer to Mu or some other koan, I become what? A thief. And I know some of you want me to be a thief. I know who you are. Zen is experiential. No one can see in your self nature but you. See, so if we could see in our true nature, which is really no nature, then we're not seeing because we have what? A subject and an object. So if we're sitting on our cushions and we say, as some of you do when you come in the interview, that's great, I'm really doing Zazen, I'm getting into this. No, that's you watching you do Zazen. That's not Zazen. In the words of Dogen, Zazen takes place when mind and body fall away. No subject, no object. I gotta check my breathing. This works, man. When I breathe real deep, I feel looser. I feel deeper. That's not doing it. Real intimacy is no me and no breath. Every time we grab hold of something and say, I got this, I don't have to spend 30 years studying acupuncture. I can just do 16 hours and I've got it. All we are doing is reinforcing our delusion. Over the years, I've known people who pass mu and say, that's it. I don't have to do Zen anymore. Got it. I've also met people who pass 20 koans and say, don't have to do Zen anymore. I know where this is going. They don't see that they are deluded in their delusion. So here, this master talking, spilling out his guts and says, wrong, because no matter what I say, that's not it. And some of you may recall when Bodhidharma came to China, he came with the Lankavatara Sutra. That's the only book he brought. And he talked about the transmission of mind to mind. It is beyond the sutras. Manjushri and Buddha are two mirrors reflecting each other. Mind-to-mind transmission. Do you see? Do you understand Buddhism? This is the master speaking. I find no one who can speak on it. It's easy to criticize others. A short-sighted person often gets the idea that he knows everything and others do not. Do you remember my favorite samurai maxim? Anyone? Knowing and action are the same thing. Knowing and action are the same thing. If you aren't doing what you're talking about, then you don't know it. You see, Tempio knew intellectually, and of course, our culture prides intellectual development. See, we tend to think that because we can articulate an idea, a notion, we've got it. Well, you know that old saying, those who don't have it are always talking about it. Those who have it never open their mouth. See, so Tempio thought he had it, but he didn't embody it. And how many times have I said reading the menu will not satisfy our hunger? we have to experience eating. And E-A-T-I-N-G is not the same. But in our culture, we read the menu every day and we walk around like we've got it. It's interesting because we place things in categories, and as one guy read said, we just keep building more and more elaborate boxes to put things in. You can't take part of a formula and expect to get the full results. And some of you check out, I believe our is it Facebook? Well, we've posted a piece entitled Buddhism Without the Buddha. How many of you have seen that? Yeah, Buddhism Without the Buddha. That's taking part of the formula and expecting to get the full results. The very thing we are avoiding is the thing we need to focus on. That's part of our get out of jail card. You see, it's a little arrogant on our part to think that all we need to do is 16 hours, get 16 credits, and we've mastered the art of acupuncture. This practice is about learning to come to grips with our life and with our death. I may have told you this story before, but when I was in Utah training with Genpo Roshi, some of us would sit around and we would bet on how long different people would stay at Kanzian Zen Center there. And we see people coming in and they're like really gung-ho, you know. And both men, both women, they were really, really into it. But guess what? As soon as many of them got into a relationship, hooked up with a guy, hooked up with a woman, that would be it. We wouldn't see them anymore. What happened to the commitment? What happened to the great faith, the great determination, the great doubt? How many relationships do we have before we realize that that's not the truth? But what we want to do is just simply reinforce our knowing. As I said to someone in an interview, if our life sucks, that's okay. We know how big it is, how much it weighs, what color it is. It's something to hold on to. See? Because if we're honest, we really don't like not knowing. We don't like uncertainty. You come to this practice and you ask me, what is this practice? I've said it before and I say it again. It's yes and no. Does a dog have Buddha nature? No. Does a dog have Buddha nature? Yes. That's the practice. Can you see that? You've heard the saying, holding on by a thread. And in a way, we all have our own sutra, because what does sutra mean? It means coming together like this. So what's our sutra? What's our story? What's our narrative? We're constantly weaving our sutra. One of the topics we covered in, and I think is currently being covered in study group, are the six realms: the God realm, the jealous God, the human, the animal, the hell, and the hungry ghost. Do you know what realm you're coming out of? What story, what sutra are you living your life out of? And turning back to the koan, in Engel's introduction, in the original, these lines make a fine quatrain. In this verse, approaching the end of his comments on Heikoku, Engel presents his conclusion. I gave nothing, and you have acquired nothing. It will take 30 years for one truly to understand this attaining nothing. 30 years versus 16 credit hours. How many of us are willing to put in 30 years? Hell, I'll settle for 10. I got carried away with this talk, because this is a long talk, you know? And I'm trying to edit while I'm sitting up here. And I said, they don't need to know that, because they'll forget it anyway. So let me say this. Wrong. It's not wrong to say I find no one who can speak properly on Buddhism, because, as I said earlier, no one can do so. But Sayan categorically condemns Tempio, saying he was wrong. Sayan wanted to discuss the matter with Tempio and make him understand the question thoroughly. You can't understand the question thoroughly doing 16 credit hours. Hell, you're lucky to be able to do it after 30 years. I was speaking with someone earlier today, and they told me they were clear. And I said, great. I've been doing this for 37 years. I don't see myself as clear. There's no end to getting clear. How can you arrive someplace and say, I got it? But here's Tempio. Told himself he knew all about it. Zen training, we're about realizing the realization of what this thing is that we call reality. or as I like to say, we're about realizing the real reality. Real with a capital R. It was said long ago, Bodhidharma did not come to China. The second patriarch did not go to India. Zen is a matter not of coming and going, but truly realizing the spirit of Buddhism. Tempyo's understanding only conceptually and sticking to the idea that his pilgrimage was wrong deceived himself and he deceived his students. And I'll close with this commentary. Cyan, good words grow pale beside my wrong. Secho means that he has swept everything clear by saying wrong, wrong.
Sentient beings are numberless.